What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi. With me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
Yo, how we doing?
Yo, let's get this party started, fellas. Let's do it.
We have a very exciting one today. The best sports father and son duos of all time. It's going to be a drafting. Are you boys ready?
I'm good to go, but I'm telling you right now, I'm breaking a rule.
Oh, gosh. I Dino in these rules. All right. Well, the order today is...
We'll get the paternal party started.
Yeah, we're breaking rules. We're rule breakers.
The order today is myself first. And guess what? Deepaw is no longer sandwiched anymore. We got Houdini in the middle and Deepaw in that third spot.
Oh, yeah. Jedi, I think I need to query an investigation into the picking order that seems to always have you on top at the number one pick, and Dino and I fighting it out in the two and three spot. So just be on the lookout for a subpoena to answer some questions.
I concur.
The wheel has spoken. The wheel has spoken, and that's all that I can say. Let's get right into this. The best sports father and son duos starting us off right now, drafting this. I'm going with the Manning family. Eli and Peyton Manning, his father, Archie Manning. But look, both of his sons won Super Bowls. His father was considered, or their father, I should say, was considered one of the best quarterbacks in his era. This family is just absolutely made for football. Their third brother, actually, of Eli and Peyton, Cooper Manning, was actually supposed to be the best out of the three, but his career ended due to health issues, unfortunately. But he does have a son, Arch Manning, who's at Texas right now as the quarterback, and he's supposed to be the next big guy. I mean, this family is just filled with football quarterbacks. I feel like it's the number one go-to pick for something like this.
Yeah, I mean, look, 20-time Pro Bowlers combined, four MVPs, one Hall of Fame right now. Eli will go, four Super Bowl winning champs. And Archie gets a lot of slack because his career record absolutely blows. But he was on the worst football teams. Yeah. Like, I'm talking like the worst football teams in his career.
Yeah, great pick. And yeah, you're exactly right, Dean. Archie Manning was the truth back then. And, you know, at the time, and, you know, there was that documentary about the Mannings and everything. You saw a lot of the old footage. He was running around and, like, doing all this crazy stuff, making people miss and extending plays. The team he played for in the NFL was so bad, the Saints. Their nickname was the Aints because they ain't winning. It was absolutely terrible, the team he played on. Put him on a good team, completely different pro story there. All right, who you got, Dino?
This one is so tough, dude. Like, I honestly thought he was going to go with this one. So, like, I thought this was the clear-cut one, but the more I'm looking at this, there's one that's just, like, sticking out in my mind, and, like, I don't want to pass on it. But the one that I thought was 1-1, I really do think it's the 1-1.
Ooh.
I'm curious. But
then you got to take it.
I'm not going to. I'm going to take Gordy and Mark Howe. And the reason why I'm taking it is because they had combined 2592 career points, both in the Hall of Fame, four-time Cup-winning champion, two-time WHA champion, which was the World Hockey Association at the time, and a 24-time All-Star combined. Gordy is probably one of the best hockey players of all time, if not the best. Obviously, like, you have Gretzky, Ovechkin will get his way up there, but, like, I like I said, I think I passed on the 1-1, but I'm a hockey guy.
Fair enough.
All right, so I like the pick. That's solid, and you're right, Dino, too. Gordy's one of the best hockey players of all time, so you can't go wrong there. I'm going to go with, you know, it father-son in baseball. You're typically thinking Griffey is number one, but I think I'm going to go with my, you know, determining factor here was both players were really, really good. Bobby and Barry Bonds. Obviously, Barry has the steroid issue, but he's the home run king, one of the best pure hitters of all time. I didn't realize, you know, whenever I started digging into this a little bit more, how good of a ball player Bobby Bonds was, though. Career 296 hitter, so like a shade under 300. He was, I didn't know this about him, he was the first baseball player to ever go 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. And he's in the 300-300 club, home runs and stolen bases. You put that on top of Barry Bonds' career, I think this is a home run for me. No pun intended.
Wow, I did not know that.
It's a good pick. I mean, it's a good pick. I'm actually still shocked I'm going to land the Griffies because I know you're not going baseball back-to-back.
I had to pick there because I didn't want to go back-to-back right there. You know, I think I can get them coming back on the three. So I'm going to take a little bit, a bite out of Dino's here. Go a little hockey.
Yeah.
Bobby and Brett Hull, the Halls. Two Hall of Fame careers right there. Brett Hull obviously being the more recent one that I'm familiar with. But, you know, you want to talk about like a Mount Rushmore of like father-son hockey. I mean, those two names that, or those two families we just named are definitely on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, combined 2,500 points, three Stanley Cups, both in the Hall of Fame. I think whenever you get, like, both guys in the Hall of Fame, I don't know how you pass on something like that. Winning the Stanley Cup is really difficult. So the fact that they – I think they both did it – I know Brett did it twice. I think Bobby did it once.
Once, yeah. If I'm not mistaken. And Bobby had – I mean, looking – doing the research on this, Bobby had 610 goals in his NHL career. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it's a great pick. So, I mean, with that flying off the board, then I'm going to be stuck with taking the Griffies, right? Combined 4,900 hits, 782 home runs, both of them combined 290 average, a Hall of Fame, one MVP, one All-Star Game MVP, two-time World Series, and 16-time All-Stars. I could have gone a different direction, but I'm going to go with Griffey. And this one is like swayed a little bit because Ken Griffey Sr. was a solid baseball player,
right? Yeah, and, dude, he played almost 20 years to make that happen, too, to play with his son.
He was a solid baseball player. He wasn't a great baseball player. He was a solid baseball player. Junior, like, I mean, we've gone over sexiest swings. He's probably one of the best pure-hitting lefties in the game, if not the best pure hitter of all time. I think Ken Griffey Jr. kind of weighs a little bit more in this conversation. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Griffies.
Love it.
Completely agree with you there. I feel like every father and son's ultimate dream is to get to play it together in a professional sport. You see LeBron trying to do it right now a little bit. It's definitely a rarity, but definitely some sort of like ultimate dream I think father and sons that are in sports have. Griffey Sr. and Griffey Jr., they played 2 years with the Mariners together, and then Sr. ended up retiring. He was on his way out while Jr. obviously started beginning his Hall of Fame career. I'm not going to lie, both of your guys' lists are pretty, pretty good so far. This is the one thing that kind of sucks about having the first pick is that you don't get to have a pick for five picks. So I kind of don't want this first pick anymore because it's kind of rough being up here. But
I know who you're taking.
I feel like you don't. But I will say, I kind of, this was like scripted just for me. I'm going to take something that I feel like is underrated and nobody's really thinking of.
You're taking Dale Earnhardt.
I am. I'm taking Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr. No. Two of the greatest race car drivers. When you think of NASCAR, you think of the Earnhardts or you think of Ricky Bobby.
Throw up the threes,
you ain't
baby.
First, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to use the outside position, Ricky Bobby.
That's right, Ricky.
A little shake and bake.
Dude, throw up the threes, man.
First you shake it, then you bake it.
Love it. I'm kind of pissed at it. I was hoping that would come down. You know, I didn't want to take that as my two. I was hoping I'd snag that to three. Nice pick, brother.
Dino knows me too well, man. Jeez.
He does. He called that shit.
I know who you're taking here, too.
Wow. Actually, I'm going to be honest. I really don't know who I'm taking here. I kind of have like the my chart here is kind of just like I could take any of these three. And like I personally wouldn't mind. But with that being said, I'm going to not go with baseball just because I feel like I'm definitely a baseball guy. I'm not going to take the Guerreros. I'm not going to go that route.
Or the Fielders.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Wow, Prince Field. Yeah, the Fielders. But no, I'm going to take the Mahomeses just because Pat Mahomes, his father played 11 years in the MLB, and I think that has something to say. But the reason I'm taking this a little bit more is because his son is the face of the NFL, one of the best players, if not the best player in the league, and he's still young and accomplished so much already.
Yeah, he's already getting thrown out there as, you know, he is the best quarterback of his time right now, but he's already getting thrown in there with the all-time greats, so I could see that.
Dude, but his dad had like a 5.74 ERA.
Yeah, his dad, that's my only beef with it, yep.
Yeah, I did say that I give him props for making it there, and he played 11 years, so I think has something to be said.
And which I'm 90% sure he was a reliever, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus. He pitched for the Yanks too, didn't he?
A 5.74 coming out of the pen? My lord.
Hey, man, he made it.
I tip that. Like, I didn't. So. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm telling you, we could go four. 100% we can go four. Because who I'm going to take is on none of your list. Therefore, I guarantee you, because I told you I was going to break a rule, so I'm going to stick to it. I'm not doing father-son. I'm doing father-daughter. I'm going Muhammad and Layla Ali.
Okay? Mm.
Wow.
Rule breaker.
A combined record of 80-5 with 56 knockouts. I mean, come on. I have the greatest boxer of all time, and I have the best female boxer of all time.
Yeah, on some rules that you broke to make that happen. That makes no sense.
Dude, I'm sorry, but like...
All right, well, I'm gonna throw in freaking Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan because they were movie brothers.
Well,
sorry,
on.
Bro, I got the best athlete Space and the best Jam. Cartoon athlete of all time, dog.
Okay, but like... Like, maybe you could have gone Bugs and Lola, you know what I mean? Like, family. Like, Lola Bunny was a smoke show. Two is she was nasty at basketball. So, like, you know what I mean? I just, look, if we did father-daughters, we wouldn't have enough, right? So, this was the time to do this. I have to do it now, because there's probably not going to be a category where, like, you've seen a father and a daughter dominate. Rest in peace, obviously, Kobe, like... You know, she probably could have. And Layla was 24-0 at 21 knockouts.
I didn't realize she was undefeated. I knew she was dominant, but I didn't realize undefeated. That's so dumb.
You know, if we go for a fourth one, I'll break some... I'm not going to break some rules, but I'll do a Dino thing and do an investment.
We're breaking rules.
And do an investment one.
We go Mount Rushmore? I'll go Mount Rushmore. Don't tell me.
Are you going Mount Rushmore?
I'll go Mount Rushmore because I'm getting my back-to-backs right here.
All right, here we go.
All right, interesting take for you there, Dino, number three. You really knocked it out of the ring.
Got him.
All right, I'm going to go with the silkiest, not the prettiest, the silkiest jumper in NBA history. Not as pretty of a shot as Reggie, but I'm going to go with Dell and Steph Curry here.
Hold on. Don't forget Seth.
You're right.
Seth can play a little bit.
You're right, yep. I totally forget, you know, in my notes, I had Seth on there too, but I totally forgot to jot him down on there. But you're right, Dino. Surprisingly, a decent NBA player. Like, watching him in college and at Duke, thought he was all right. Definitely not as good as his brother was. Shocked with how good of an NBA player he turned out to be right there.
But isn't it amazing, right? One goes to Davidson.
Yep.
It's a low-level mid-major. The dude has, what, 5 rings? And he's the best pure shooter, if not changed the game of the NBA. The other one went to Duke, which is the blue blood of all blue bloods, and is an average role player. It's amazing.
All right, for the fourth and final, can't go baseball again.
I know what Jedi is going to pick, too. I'm calling it right now. I know what he's picking. He's taking Matt and Jackson Holiday. I know it. Yeah, dude, you're so obvious, bro.
You know, it's kind of terrifying how well Dino knows me. Houdini has known me, like, since I was, like, what, 13? So
yeah, I mean, dude, like, it's obvious.
He knows me too well.
All right, to round out number four, we're going into the football world. Give me Howie Long with sons Chris and Kyle. You know, to have one father-son duo make it in the NFL, to let alone have, you know, two, just like the Mannings, too, it's pretty wild to have two sons play. You know, Chris and Kyle, one was a DN, one was an O-lineman, both pretty dominant at certain times of their career, not, you know, over their entire career, but three insanely good football players there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great pick. I don't like Howie Long. I never
Why? Because on Fox?
Yeah, I just don't. Like, some guys, like Joe Buck, right? Love his play-by-play. The second he starts talking about something else,
I'm like,
oh my Lord.
Yeah.
So, I just don't like Howie Long. All right, so I'm walking away with the Vlads or the Boons.
I'm not going to say anything yet. I'd like to hear your answer.
Look, the Boons combined were 8-time All-Stars, a World Series champ, 11 Gold Gloves, and 2 Silver Sluggers.
Yeah, but there's 3 of them.
And there's 3, right?
But there's
so,
3.
I know. I get that there's 3.
They don't have any MVPs, though.
They don't have any MVPs, but Brett Boone played a remarkable second base. Aaron Boone hit the greatest home run in my lifetime. And their father I know nothing about.
He played in the MLB. That's what we know.
So, I think he was the one that won the World Series, right? He had to have been. Brett didn't win one.
I'm not sure.
Well, did the Yanks not win that one that Aaron hit the home
run? No, they lost in 3-3.
He must have then.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Like, I'm going to go with the Boones. I think it's too early for the Vlads. I think Vlad can be on there for sure. That might end up being the 1-1 at some point. It's just way too soon for me to choose Vlad Jr. Way too soon.
I respect that pick. I mean, I feel like my pick was kind of spoiled. I teased it before that I was going to go a Houdini route and take an investment sort of pick, which I won't lie. It was Matt Holliday and Jackson Holliday because I'm a huge Jackson Holliday fan, and Matt Holliday's stats and his career speaks for itself. But since it was spoiled, I will go something a little bit different, but still take that investment option type pick. I'm going to take Bobby Witt Sr. and Jr. Same deal here. Bobby Witt Sr. was a pitcher. He was by no means some remarkable player, but it's the same thing as that Pat Mahomes sort of thing. He played quite a few years, had a respectable career, and was a former Major League Baseball player. Bobby Witt Jr., on the other hand, is a superstar in the making, in my opinion. He just had himself an MVP season this year. He's probably going to get fourth place in the AL MVP voting. I just think that's going to go completely upwards from here, potentially when he's finally going to get out of Kansas City. I don't see him staying there his whole career. The dude's going to have a great career. This is an investment, people. An investment.
Hell of a ball player.
I'm in shock that Vlad's didn't go.
Yeah, you know, I it was the same thing for me, though.
I think
though.
It's like, the junior, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Vlad has not lived up to the hype that people said that he is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, I just didn't want to go too baseball in that list, too. Like, I absolutely was looking at Cecil and Prince Fielder, first father, son, and maybe the only, I got to look into that, to both hit 50 home runs in a season. So, like, that's a great one right there. Yeah, they didn't have the longevity, but, you know, they made a big impact.
Yeah, I only had two other people that weren't mentioned. I had the Alou family. Not so much, like, I think, remarkable baseball players, but impactful. You know, his father was a fantastic manager. His son was in, like, one of the most famous plays of all time in left field with the Steve Bartman play against the Cubs and the Marlins. That was the curse of the Cubs and stuff. I mean, they're in baseball history. And then I also had Clay Matthews Jr. and the third. Clay Matthews the third was a pretty remarkable player for the Packers, won themselves a Super Bowl. His father was a four-time Pro Bowler, and Clay Matthews the third was six times. So,
yeah, the only one we briefly mentioned the Fielders. The only other one that I could think of was the Alomars, because I personally love Roberto Alomar. I think that was the greatest infield of all time, was Vizquel and Alomar. I don't know if I can come up with a better infield up the middle than those two.
Yeah, dirty.
I can.
I got.
Go ahead.
2009 Yankees, A-Rod, G, Cano, Teixeira.
No.
Up the middle.
You said infield at first.
No, he said up the middle.
I said up the middle, dude. So what, you're going to tell me Jeter and Cano? Because I want to make this.
No, I'm not saying that. You said infield at first. And then I said I could think of a better infield.
Yeah, but I wasn't going over the entire Cleveland Indians roster. But what I'm going to ask you is really simple. And you got to be honest with yourself right here. Was Jeter a plus defender?
No, but I do think that he gets a hard time, people saying that he was an awful defender. I do not agree with that.
I agree with you. I don't think he's a plus defender. I think he's an average,
defender. Maybe a tick above, yeah. One that we didn't talk about, and I almost picked here with the fourth pick, Ed and Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey, receiver for the Broncos. Three or four straight 1,000-yard seasons. I think he won two Super Bowls with them. And then Christian is a superstar today in the NFL. A little bit of an injury concern, but when healthy, is probably the most electric player in football.
This was definitely a fun draft right here. We're probably going to have to do eventually the best brothers duo. You know, you got the Kelsey brothers there. I'm sure there's countless other brothers that I just can't think of off the top of my head.
There was only one other one. I'm sorry.
Which one?
Pete and Dick Weber.
Pete Weber. But nobody knows Dick Weber, though.
No, but everyone knows Pete.
Dick Bolden is local league.
But Pete was gross.
But Pete was, who do you think you are?
I am. All right, sorry. Go ahead, finish off.
That was all I had. That was our little father-son duo and daughter, best in sports drafting. Time for the best 60 seconds of your life.
Three undefeated teams left after week three. The Eagles, the Dolphins, Niners. D-Paul, which one of the 3-0 teams is the best?
You know, it's going to be hard not to pick the Dolphins, you know, but I think I'm going to go away from here. I think it's the Birds. I think they haven't hit their stride totally yet. And as great as they were last year, I think they're a better team this year.
Stunners in the NFL. Somehow the Texans beat the Jags. Are the Texans good?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see if CJ Stroud is the real deal. He's improved every game he's played so far. The Texans might be sneaky good. Like, almost nobody had Texans beating Jags, or nobody had that. Maybe a couple sharps in Vegas, but that's about it.
Worst team in the NFL. Broncos, Panthers, Bears.
Man, it's hard not to pick the Chicago Bears. Just completely inept on offense, but the Broncos are giving them a run for their money, Dino.
And that was the best 60 seconds of your life. We're going to get a little bit of a heads up. What's up to come in professional and college football with Houdini and Deepaw? Take it away.
Thursday night, you have an absolute banger, Deepaw. Lions-Packers, who you got?
Give me the Lions all day. Riding that offense, I don't think Jordan Love can do it against Detroit.
You got the Commanders and Eagles. Do the Commanders get out of their funk, or do the Eagles continue to stay undefeated?
I think this is going to be a lot closer than people think. I think the egg that you alluded to earlier that the Commanders laid, I think a lot of people are going to be betting Philly heavy here. I think the Commanders play them tight, lose by 3 or 4, though, in the end.
Dolphins go to Buffalo. Do they stay undefeated?
Yes, no doubt about it. Josh Allen's going to do some crazy shit. I think that offense keeps rolling. And it's not Buffalo in December. It's Buffalo in September.
Correct. A shitter is getting a win. Broncos or Bears?
Oh, my God. Just for how terrible that Bears offense is, I think I got to go with the Broncos. I think they're a more talented team. And the Broncos defense is at least talented. The Bears is absolutely hapless.
You have another shitter going for a win. Vikings or Panthers? Who's winning this one?
Vikings or Panthers? You know, I think the Vikings are my most shocked 0-3 team. They're way too talented to be 0-4, so give me the Vikes.
Are the Cowboys a disappointment, or do they rebound versus the Patriots at home?
They rebound. They're too talented not to rebound.
The Niners, do they stay undefeated against the Cardinals at home?
Yes, absolutely. The Cardinals snuck up on the Cowboys. They're not going to do it again twice in a row.
Chiefs are favored by 9.5 against the Jets on Sunday night. Do they cover the 9.5 in New York?
Absolutely. I would even push that to 2 touchdowns if you want to tweeze the line, man. All right, Houdini, I got the college football slate here for you. May not have as many marquee matchups as we did last week, but it's a good slate that we got here. Starting off with the top 25 matchup, Dino, Utah travels to Corvallis, Oregon to take on Oregon State on Friday night. Who you got there, bud?
I'm only going with the home team here. It's Pac-12 football. I rarely watch it, so I'm going to go Oregon State just because they're home, no other reason.
Love it, love it. Tough place to play on a Friday night, too. Staying in the former Pac-12 here, everybody's talking about it. Neon Dion in Colorado. USC travels to Colorado for a 10 a.m. local time kickoff on Saturday. Who you got?
That 10 a.m. is a trap. The elevation's going to be a trap, but it's not going to be a trap for anyone but the Buffaloes. USC is going to put up a 70 burger on them, just like the Dolphins did last week. I see no possible way this game is close, and Caleb Williams will probably throw for 500 yards and 7 touchdowns.
I love it. I called a 50 burger on him earlier in the week. So we're upping it to the 70 burger. Love it. Switching coast, we're going down to the SEC. Let's see who you got. And University of Florida takes on Kentucky at Kentucky. Who you got there?
I'm going to take Florida. There's just something about me watching any of the ETNs run, and I think Trevor Etienne is fun to watch. Devin Leary from Kentucky has a QBR rating of a 49.5. Yes, he's thrown for 1,000 yards already. He has 9 touchdowns, but he has thrown 5 picks. So I don't think he's going to be able to take care of the football against a loaded UF team.
Typically, that's one dominated by Florida, too. So let's see if Kentucky can keep it close and maybe pull an upset off here. Sticking in the SEC, number one Georgia going to Auburn. What you like there, Dino?
I do think Auburn plays this game a lot tighter than people think. Georgia's favored by 14.5, but every time these two teams match up, it's always a dogfight. I'm going to go Georgia, but I'm going to go Georgia by 3.
Ooh, a close one there.
Yeah.
Moving to the Midwest, Kansas at Texas. Typically Kansas, a downtrodden program, having a little bit of a resurgence. Texas is back, supposedly. Who you got here, Dino?
I'm going to take Texas, and if I was a betting man, which I am not, I would definitely take the over. The over slated for 62.5. It's going to be an absolute shootout. I do like Texas at home. I do think Kansas is sneaky good, but I don't think they're Texas good yet.
Going back to the SEC, LSU and the Fightin' Brian Kellys head to Ole Miss against the Fightin' Lane Kiffins. Ole Miss coming off a loss at Alabama. Got handled there. LSU looking to rebound from the opening week loss to Florida State. Who you got there, Dean?
I do like Ole Miss in this matchup at home. And maybe it's just because I don't like Brian Kelly. But I kind of root against Brian Kelly as much as I possibly can. SEC on the road, I like Ole Miss here.
Saturday night, 7 p.m., Notre Dame coming off a heartbreaking loss to Ohio State. Travels to sleepy Durham, North Carolina. At a 7 p.m. kickoff, though, so not the noon kickoff. Who you got there, Dino? Does ND bounce back here?
Notre Dame does bounce back. They're favored by 5.5. I think they cover that. I do think Sam Hartman, who's thrown for 1,200 yards and 4 touchdowns, keeps them in the game at any given time. And it's typical Notre Dame. Watch their tight ends play. They will be a massive factor in this game. I think Notre Dame wins by 10.
Thank you, Houdini and Deepaw, as always. We always look forward to that. Transitioning, though, into baseball, we have some unfortunate and sad news today. Brooks Robinson, the human vacuum cleaner, passed away at the age of 86. I was very fortunate enough to get to meet and speak to him multiple times. He was the nicest person in the world. Brooks was considered Mr. Oriole and was a huge reason why the Baltimore Orioles won the World Series in 1970. He was the World Series MVP that year. He hit .429, but it was actually his defensive performance in that series that really put the spotlight on him, hence his nickname, the Human Vacuum Cleaner. He actually played 23 years in the MLB. That's something that you don't see often now. He won 2 World Series, played his entire career in an Orioles uniform, had 16 Gold Gloves, which is the most by any position player, 18 All-Star appearances, and a 1964 MVP. Look, he's considered 100% the best defensive third baseman, if not the best defensive player of all time, but he's definitely one of the best third basemen in baseball in the world, and he really meant a lot to actually the league itself, too. He helped support a lot of changes and issues within the MLB Players Association. So he not only had his big impact on the field, but it was also off the field for the future of these baseball players that are in the league now.
Brooks Robinson was a legend. I don't even know if there's anything else I can say. He was a really, really good baseball player from what you say. I take everything you say with value. He was a great person, great human being. Rest in peace to an absolute legend.
Yeah, man. You know, it's sad to hear. He lived a great life and was an amazing Hall of Famer. I think he's one of the, you know, I knew he had a ton of Gold Gloves and I knew he was an outstanding defensive third baseman, you know, the best of all time at that position. I didn't realize it was 16 Gold Gloves. That's just absolutely insane to think about. What, so 16 of his 23 years, like that's nuts. Yeah. There's a couple famous plays that they have a video, but like he'd be one that I'd just love to see, like if he played when like technology is what it is today, where you'd get to see all the ground that he covered, all the analytics behind it, and even just the highlights too. Like, I mean, you look at a stud third baseman defensively like Nolan Arenado, like you could watch a 20-minute video of Nolan Arenado highlights just defensively. I'd love to be able to see something like that from Brooks.
Is this kind of the destiny that this Orioles needed?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Is this
Oh, the little hump that they need for this playoff push. Series,
when Brooks dies, yeah.
To go out there and win it?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you've been listening for a while, you understand how me and Houdini are adopted Baltimore Orioles fans this year. So I'm rooting for him. Go win it for Brooks. But before we wrap up this podcast for Hot Shots, it's time for the best part. Houdini, what's your final thought?
My final thought this week is news that just broke for us. The New York Jets signed veteran quarterback Trevor Siemian to the practice squad to add to a quarterback room of Trevor Siemian, Zach Wilson, and Tim Boyle. So what I really want to talk about, though, is the letter that Colin Kaepernick sent to the New York Jets general manager, Joe Douglas. And the letter wasn't even shared by Kaepernick. It was actually shared by none other than J. Cole. So what interests me about this letter, and I'm going to read some of it here, is it gives your defense the advantage of getting a truer read on a more mobile, athletic, versatile quarterbacks it will face in weeks 4, 5, and 6, Mahomes, Wilson, and Hurts. So he's not vying for an actual job on the active roster. He wants a practice squad job, right? So I give him a lot of credit for sending this out. This would also allow you guys as an organization to take a real look at where I'm at football-wise in game-like situations against elite defenses while also not putting any competitive pressure on Zach. So, important to mention there, right? It's kind of a twofold story. Get a look at me, but Zach will still be your quarterback. It would be a perfect world for the Jets. Zach Wilson finds his stride and shows that he is able to lead this championship-caliber team that you've put together to the Super Bowl. Now, the part that made me laugh is he attached his references, right? And his references are Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly, John Harbaugh, and Mark Davis. Mark Davis being the Las Vegas.
Right? What did he do? He wouldn't even play for Vegas.
So, look, I respect the fact that he sent this letter. He's trying to get a shot. I said this a long time ago. Colin Kaepernick should have gotten a shot a long time ago and was blackballed from the NFL, right? We want to talk about the whole Black Lives Matter movement. He started that movement a long time ago before anyone ever listened to him. So Kaepernick was put in a really tough situation a long time ago, and I don't think it was entirely his fault whenever he took a knee during the national anthem. I really do think Colin Kaepernick could have been a great NFL quarterback. So I kind of feel bad for the guy. Now I'm going to pivot. I'm going to go back to the Jets, and I'm going to ask him, what in the world are you doing signing Trevor Siemian? That quarterback room has to be, arguably, ever, the worst quarterback room I have ever heard of in my entire life. And Rodgers isn't sitting in these conversations. He's in L.A. And if he is sitting in on these conversations, which he chimed in today and said the Jets need to grow up a little bit, well, then why don't you fly your ass to New York and sit down with these guys and help them grow up? Because Jersey. This team sucks. Yeah, fly to New York, then drive to Jersey and sit in on these meetings.
Take the time. Because,
yeah, these kids need to grow up. Well, go help them grow up. Because that's I don't even know who Tim Boyle is. Trevor Siemian was horrible. Zach Wilson is horrendous. There's no adjectives that I can use to discuss how bad that quarterback room is.
Zach Wilson is the most athletic future enterprise worker the NFL has ever seen.
You're not wrong, Jedi. Great final thought, Dino.
It's only a matter of time, though, before Zach Wilson is out of the Jets' hair, but I think it's going to be a little bit longer, I guess, with the moves that they just made. They definitely have no intention, it seems like, of replacing him.
Trade for Justin Fields. Now. Mm-hmm. Trade for him now.
You're not getting that much. I mean, have you seen him play this year? You're not getting that much better than with Zach Wilson, and you're keeping the same assets. Like, you're not giving up any assets to do it.
I hear you, but you only have two options. Go trade for him, go trade for Trey Lance, or tank, take Caleb Williams. He's going to sit for a year behind Rodgers until he blows his leg out again, and then Caleb Williams will be your starting quarterback.
Yeah, but, I mean, Caleb Williams isn't going to waste an entire year sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, which is not going to happen. Yeah, but I do think that's why they're not actively going out to try and get a better quarterback, is they know the writing on the wall. They know exactly how far Zach Wilson can take him, which the ceiling was last year, and he hasn't gotten any better. So, yeah, you're looking at top 8, top 6 pick.
If you did enjoy this, though, make sure to hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss our drafting, Mount Rushmore's rankings, everything that we do here. We also cover sports trending news, and we always keep it fun, and we always keep it real here. So Join us. Join the conversation. Drop a comment below. What's your top four, your Mount Rushmore of the best father, son, and daughter now duos in sports history? You can find us always at Hot Shots Podcast on all social media platforms. But until then, we will talk to you next time. Always make sure to stay in touch. We'll see you.